You please be seated. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, that would be helpful. So let me read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through to 15. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is seated, who is the head of all the rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him for the dead, raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, we ask that as we come against your word this morning, you would, we always pray that you would enlighten our minds with a view of our hearts being changed, that we may walk in your ways and avoid being taken captive by those things which are not of you. Father, allow us to receive our submitted lives to your word now, in Jesus' name, amen. I've often thought, now that we're getting into this pivotal section of Colossians, that it might be about time to at least make one statement which probably will resonate with a lot of you, and it is something that we must be aware of, and that is the easiest lesson to learn can often be the easiest lesson to forget. And the reason why this happens, and I think I illustrated this a couple of weeks ago, and I don't want this to be an educational Sunday, but when children are learning, they're using their memory in such a way where they think they're actually memorizing, but it's only the active part of their memory. It's a bit like the RAM in a computer, that once you turn the computer off, that little bit of memory's just disappeared all of a sudden. Well, the thing is no learning actually takes place until there is real effort being made. And the trouble is that sometimes you can become so familiar with the point and so familiar with the explanation of the lesson that you then think you've actually lived it. And this is one of those common things that gets in the way of Christians actually maturing. But my issue with that is not with that exactly. It's rather the fact that it opens up to dangers of Christians being held captive by other beliefs. What Paul wants to do here is anchored down even further than what he has done so far. The Christian life is about following Christ. It is about walking. But it is about learning very specific lessons where not only can you recite them, but they become second nature. They become so part of who you are that you are then sort of almost doing them automatically. So the Christian life, Paul has already stated, is not a matter of self-discovery. You didn't get here by figuring this out by yourself. You got here by the grace of God, through the faith of God. It is all a gift of God. None of this has come to you because you have somehow worked out the right path to follow. You didn't know which path to follow. You had to be brought into the way, and that way is Christ. You had to be brought into him so that you could actually follow the way that you go. And the trouble with this, at least when it comes to Christian maturity, is that we tend to think that because conversion has happened, the rest will take care of itself. And it really doesn't. The Christian life doesn't take care of itself. God takes care of conversion. God takes care of eternal security through Christ on the cross. God takes care of all of that. But the actual Christian life and living and maturing, well, this is something that if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is very much a cooperation on your part. It is not salvation by works. It is salvation by grace through faith. But it is a Christian life that cooperates with the Spirit of God that you have been given. This is the very point that Paul is making here, though slightly different in the letter of Colossians. And so let me just summarize before we get into some of the main points. I want to just re-emphasize again how important it is for you to be able to identify, do I know this lesson because it's been repeated so many times, or do I know it because I'm doing it? Okay, do I know it because it's been repeated so many times, or do I know it because I'm doing it? In other words, the first point in a moment will be that Christians walk by faith, but they see by hearing. I mean, that's such a Sunday school lesson. It's such a basic Christian lesson. But is it one of those lessons that we have just, yeah, I know it, and therefore we no longer do it? Have we sort of moved beyond it because of the familiarity? What Paul is trying to show us here is that Jesus Christ matters so much that he must be at the very center of all your interests. And the way you avoid dangers is not by concentrating on the dangers, but by concentrating on Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, and therefore, if you follow Christ and are in Christ, by implication, you avoid the dangers. But the moment, of course, that Christ is no longer the center of your interests, that you are no longer walking in the way, then you, of course, stray into the dangers. It's not a case that you have to do two things. You only have to do one. You don't have to avoid dangers. You don't have to avoid being taken captive. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is make sure that Christ is the center of your interest. You have to make sure that you are walking with Christ. And then by implication, you will not be taken captive. But sometimes we don't always understand that it is really that simple. And so notice the imperative in verse 8. An imperative is something which must not happen. Verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive. But notice what he has just said in verses 6 and 7, that as you received Christ, so walk in him. And there's the turning point to the whole letter. How simple is that? What Paul is saying this is that the source, if there was any, to the secret source, not that there is a secret source to following Christ, but if there was one, it would be this, that ongoing faith is exactly the same as initial faith. Okay, that as you receive Christ, you continue in the same way. That as you receive Christ, so you continue in him. Therefore, don't let anyone take you captive, verse 8, because you have been set free for fullness and freedom, verse 9. Recognize the power of God at work and that you have been forgiven, verse 13. Christ Jesus has paid the debt in full, a debt that he was not his own, but a debt that he paid, cancelling the record of debt, nailing it to the cross. It is gone. There, you have no debts before God. You are debt-free. Debt-free before God. Not a single sin committed in the past, present, or future stands. You are debt-free. You are not like those people in the times of the crucifixion where their crimes would be nailed upon the cross so that you would know why they are there. When Christ was nailed to the cross, every single one of your debts were nailed there at the same time. Now, of course, you cannot see that with the eye. You see it by hearing God's word. You see it by hearing God's word. You hear what God's word says. And so now look at the sheer value of your life. Your life is debt-free before God. There's not a single thing, if I can put it this way, that God can hold against you because of what Christ Jesus has done for you. Not a single thing. And now it should become fairly simple to really appreciate why Christ should be the center of our interests, of all of our interests. So everything that was of our past, everything that is that which is ungodly, everything which God cannot look upon, he has to turn from, is gone. We are now this new creation in Christ Jesus. We are now anchored to the truth. We are being established in the faith. We have received Christ. We are walking in Christ. We are bearing fruit, pleasing to the Lord. All of this is coming out of Colossians so far. And we recognize that the victory of Christ was a victory for us in Christ. Not a victory that we won, but a victory that we actually get to share in. And so when you see this in contrast to what people thought the cross would actually achieve, the cross was supposed to be a victory for the Sanhedrin. You know, people who love their rules, love their own ways, even love their own traditions. The cross was supposed to be a victory for them. The cross was even supposed to be a victory for the Romans. In fact, if you even think about it, the very person you follow according to Romans, the Romans, at least in the day, is a criminal. They don't see Christ as Lord. They see this man as a criminal. You follow a criminal in the eyes of Romans. But that's not true. It's not who you are, and that's not who you follow. And so the very person they thought that they were crucifying because he claimed to be the Christ, who they thought they had victory over, is the one who has the victory because he actually was the Christ. This is the very joy in the depth that Paul is introducing us here. Christ has won full victory. Debts have been cancelled. Forgiveness has been granted. Reconciliation has been made. You have gone from death to life in him. And therefore, do not let yourselves be taken captive. Do not then be taken over by human traditions. Do not allow Christ to be displaced by any other interests. And Christ is more than an interest. So now you begin to see how his argument works. As you receive Christ, so walk in him. Do not be taken captive. Here's why. Because of the value of who you are and what Christ has accomplished for you. You are his and fully his. And so here are the three lessons. And of course, these points, these didactic points that are on the back of the bulletins are really for the children in writing in their notebooks. And it'd be nice to see how well some of you are doing. But here's the first one for you. And it is that Christians walk by faith, but they see by hearing. They hear by hearing God's word. Christians walk by faith, but see by hearing God's word. Secondly, we are to follow Christ to faithfully avoid danger. And then thirdly, we are to follow the word of God, not human tradition. Now, many of you may not have perhaps thought about it this way, but I would encourage you to do so. That Christians walk by faith, this much you know. But we see by hearing. We see by hearing. Now, of course, this is a common way of speaking. People will say when something is explained to them, they'll go, oh, now I see. And what they really mean is, now I understand. Now I can fully grasp what you're saying. But if you go all the way through Scripture, how is a Christian called to see the things of God? Or by hearing the word of God. And how are they to walk? Are they to walk by faith in what? The word of God, because it is the word that produces faith. So what you have is this beautiful picture in which as you receive Christ, so walk in him. You walk by faith and you see by hearing. If you want to see the world clearly, if you want to see the promises of God clearly, if you want to see, and by see I also mean understand clearly, then you need to hear God's word, because that's the only way to see. You do not see without hearing God's word. You are blind. C.S. Lewis gave instructions on how to write once, and he said the job of a writer is to get the reader from the beginning to the end. Now, how many of you have read a book and you made your way through the chapter without your mind going off somewhere? And you will say, well, it wasn't me, it was the book that actually did it to me, because halfway through the chapter it raised this idea and all of a sudden I went down the side road and it took me another day to get back onto the same page and finish the chapter. Well, C.S. Lewis had a very good point. The point was, is that the job of the writer is to get the reader from where he is to where he wants him to be without the potential of going off onto one of those side roads. Because the moment you do that, you lose your reader. You lose them to imagination. Now, I want you to imagine that Paul is doing exactly the same, but now it's your Christian life at stake. The way is Jesus Christ, and the side roads are captivity. The way is Jesus Christ, you are the reader, you're the Christian, and now the side roads are captivity. And that slightest move away from keeping Christ his center takes you off into captivity. The side roads are dangerous. The side roads lead you astray. And so Paul's desire is very similar to that of Jesus. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is not talking about him being able to give you the direction. He's talking about him being the direction. When Jesus says, I am the way, he's not giving you the direction. He is the way. It's not that you follow him, but you're in him following. And that's how you are led into the fullness and freedom that you can enjoy in God. And unless you see that, and you can only see it by hearing God's word, you are then subject to the deceptions of side roads. It's very, very easy for the young people and even for you to grow up in this church and to get older in your Christian life. And oh, as you look back over, how many side roads have taken you away in your affections of Christ, or even your commitments to Christ, or even your commitments to your own family in Christ and your responsibilities. Well, these are the side roads that may be somewhat okay, but they have the potential to destroy that which is the most valuable. And I believe thoroughly that Christ is both Lord of the center and the circumference, that he covers all. I believe that. But I also understand that the Christian struggles with sin and therefore must always battle against those things which take us away from Christ. And so here's Paul's imperative. As you received Christ, you are to walk in Christ. And what Paul is saying here is this, that who is Christ? Well, Christ is the Word. How did you receive the Word? You received the Word of God by faith, by grace, through faith. How have you received Christ? Well, by grace, through faith. How then are you to walk in Christ? Well, by grace, through faith. And so by continuing in Christ, or by continuing to walk with Christ, is another way of saying that you are continuing to walk in the Word, because Christ and the Word is one. You go read the very beginning of John's Gospel. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who was the Word? The Word is God the Son. And so this sheer beauty parallel between Christ and the Word, because they are the same, now you begin to understand that when you receive Christ, you do so in the same way you receive the Word. It's the same thing, because they are the one and the same person. And therefore, as you walk in Christ, it cannot be as though it is separated from the Word of God in which you read. Because this is how you walk. You walk by faith in the Word, and you see by hearing the word. This is the only way we can be sure that we are on the right path, not the wrong path. This is the only way that we can make sure that we're following Christ faithfully and being aware of the side roads that can lead us into captivity. In other words, it takes a fair amount of effort to make sure that as a Christian, you are not falling into the temptation of your own human tradition. Well, this is the way I do it. This is the way I do it. Gordon Taylor, who was one of my mentors, used to say to me, he says, Daniel, you always meet a number of different people in church, and you're always going to meet a number of different people who are going to tell you how to do your job better than you. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's nice. I'm going to enjoy that. And he says that there's always a quick way to deal with them very, very, you know, as a very gentle put down. And it's this. And he says, just say to them, you may not like the way I do things. I said, okay. And then what do I say? He says, then say that you don't like the way they don't do things. All right. So now you begin to realize that we can all draw our conclusions and say, well, there's a right way and there's a wrong way of doing things. But actually, there really is a right way of doing things, and there really is a wrong way of not doing the things we ought to do. This is the sin of omission, as mentioned in James. So as you received Christ, so walk in him. As you received him, so walk in him. In other words, your ongoing faith is consistent with how you receive Christ in the first place. But how many of us are actually walking with Christ or believing that it's actually taking place without us putting any effort into it? And I would imagine that we catch ourselves more often than not recognizing that we think the Christian life more or less takes care of itself. And all we have to take care of is getting to church on time, or perhaps fulfilling a number of responsibilities. But as I said to you, if you do not take care of yourself and making sure that Christ is the center, then you will not be able to take care of anything else because your priorities will not be right. You just will not be able to do it in a Christ-like way. And so secondly, we follow Christ faithfully to avoid those dangers. Follow Christ faithfully to avoid the dangers. And I think this is another lesson that is easily learnt and easily forgotten, that how easy it is for Christ to no longer be the center of your interests, that the freedom you have in Christ is a freedom that is almost too free, and somehow you lose yourself in all the freedom that you have, forgetting that your role ultimately is to follow Christ faithfully. And what Paul is pointing out here is that your faith is the same between a root, a seed and a sapling, or the seed in the eventual tree. They're not the same. Of course, they're not the same. Initial faith and ongoing faith is, of course, different in one sense, but they're also the same. In the same way, the seed and the sapling is the same. The seed in the eventual tree is the same. And we see this in the joy of the children being baptized this morning. We recognize that their faith is not at the same mature level as the parents and the same mature level as their own, but it's not as if it's not the same faith. Okay, the seed and the plant looks different. Of course it looks different. But as you receive Christ, so continue in him. There's the sameness there. And this is what Paul is saying, that the idea of maturity is moving into Christ, not moving beyond Christ. Where Christ is taking care of the work of conversion, and now you get to just live as you please. And so ongoing faith, this walking that Paul is talking about here, that keeps us from being held captive, or at least taken captive, which keeps us from the potential dangers, is consistent with initial faith. It is consistent with how we received Christ in the beginning, which is all of grace. It's all according to God's promise and how God fulfilled that promise in Christ Jesus. It's all to do with what God has done for me, and I simply mature into it. And over time, I get to see more of it. I get to live more of it. I get to appreciate more of it. But it's still the same. I just know more of it now that I'm older than I did when I was younger. It is the continuation of the same, rooted and built up, maturing in the faith, established in Christ Jesus. And so the reason I think why so many Christians are taken astray and taken captive is that they actually succumb to other ideas, the opinions of others, the traditions of men, perhaps a modern day cult, the old practice here and there that is nothing more than reimagined of that of the past. Christians are caught by things today in exactly the same way they were caught by things in the past. And that is, whatever gets their mind gets them. And the moment it gets their mind, they're captured. You know, how many of you have woken up in the morning with something on your mind that just bugs you and you just cannot shift it? And whatever gets your mind in the morning gets you for the rest of the day. How many of you have ever had a dream in which you fell out with a person in the dream and then you see them in real life and you're not the same towards them? You know, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to be angry at them because it was just a dream. But for some reason, it carries over, because whatever gets your mind gets you. And this is the kind of the level of maturity that you need to be able to recognize how you could so easily can be taken captive. Because what happens is that thing becomes the center of your attention, the center of the interest that your mind and heart is being given to. And so Christ is then displaced. And it doesn't take long for Christ to be further and further from the center, as it were, at least devotionally, for you then to wander away from the truth in Christ Jesus. So we understand that conversion is unique. We understand that the cross of Christ has happened once and once only, and it doesn't need to happen again. But we shouldn't think that we have somehow moved beyond that. Paul wants to indicate to you here that as you received Christ, so walk in him. Don't move beyond Christ. Don't move beyond Christ as though there is something more, something higher than Christ himself. And so the reason why Paul addresses these Christians in the way that he does is because he recognized that they perhaps do not recognize that the way that you avoid danger is not by trying to avoid danger, but the way that you avoid being taken captive is by walking in Christ in the same way that you received Christ. You do one thing to avoid the other. You don't do two things here. You do one thing to avoid the other. You follow Christ faithfully to avoid being taken captive. And so it becomes self-evident that when a Christian has been taken captive, and they have been taken captive by a strange idea or by a strange practice, and then they begin going down an avenue and a road that doesn't lead to fruitfulness, that one of the things you recognize is that, or you should have recognized, is that there would have been a period of time prior to that they were not being faithful to Christ, that Christ was no longer the center of their interests. You should have recognized the storm clouds which were gathering and being able to identify what was going to come next. That's kind of the essence here of what Paul is actually teaching. That's the level of maturity you need to be at when looking at other Christians. So here's the final point, and also one of exhortation. Follow the word of God, not human tradition or anything human. Follow the word of God. Now, the reason I state it this way is because when we are taken captive, we are normally taken captive by ideas, through words, philosophies, empty deceits, perhaps experiences, but even they often come with certain words. And last week I touched on the dangers of the application of God's word. You know, I'm very careful with my applications because I recognize that in being a devil's advocate, I could apply anything any way. And I recognize that not all parts of the Bible can be received in exactly the same way by all people, because even the book of Hebrews sets out that it would have been nice to move these second generation Christians onto maturity, onto the meat of the word, but they had to be kept on the milk. In other words, there are sometimes there's just some things we just cannot handle before we are fit enough to actually handle them. And so there is a danger which comes to applying the word of God, and that is it puts a level of control into your hands, which you may or may not be able to handle. But you'll notice that Paul doesn't do this here. The implications are quite clear. Look at what Christ has done for you. Therefore, the implication of that is as you receive Christ, so walk in him. Now, of course, there's the application as well, but it's not a made-up one. It's not one where you are trying to figure out what you're to do. It's set in stone, as it were, for you in the Word of God. Now, of course, you could choose to do something else, but you'd no longer then be choosing to go in the same direction that the Word is actually setting. And so you follow God's Word, not human ideas, not your own ideas, not your own opinions, nothing that stands in contrast to God's word. And so the point here again is a re-emphasis of the saying that as you receive Christ, who is the word, so walk in the word, who is Christ. As you receive Christ, who is the word, so walk in Christ, who is the word. That's how we continue in Christ. We walk by faith in the word, and we see by hearing the word. And so we see this clear connection between walking and receiving. They're not the same. They're not the same, but one sets the direction for the other. Okay, the initial hit on a pool ball sets the direction in which the pool ball will eventually go. They're not the same, but they're connected. As you received Christ, so walk in him. They're not the same, but one sets the direction for the other. This is the point that Paul is making again and again. And he basically brings it down doctrinally in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that in Christ, these things have been buried. You in baptism were also raised through him, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. That's the work of God in your life. That's the power of the work of God in your life, so that you can become established in the faith. You have got nothing in your life that can compete with that type of power. You have got nothing in your life that can compete with that type of power to achieve what you want to achieve. Nothing. You do not have that type of power in your life to be able to do the things that you want to do. That power is purely reserved for establishing you in the faith. That's what it's there for. This is what it does. This is why Christ has died. And so we do see this movement from receiving to walking, but it is the same in the sense that it is the same direction. It is as you received him, so walk in him. There is a difference, of course, but there is the sameness as well. That is, there is a continuation of you in Christ. But let me conclude with this. That I'm fond of saying, and I did this when we did sort of a mini-series in Proverbs, or at least